together. O God, teach us the way that we should go. Counsel us in the ways of life. We wait upon your teaching and counsel, for we are lost without it. Amen. Bob is going to read to us from Luke 15.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture lesson today is Luke 11, 15, verses 11 through 20, something or other. 32. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into the far country. And there he squandered his property in losing living. And then when he had spent everything, and a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who went to send him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread and enough to spare? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Son, treat me as one of your hired servants. And then he rose and came to his father. But while he was yet a distance, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this is my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, and lo, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when his son, your viewers came, who is this? Devoured his living with harlots and killed him. And you killed the fatted calf for him. He said, Son, you've always been with me, and all of mine is yours. It is fitting to make merry and be glad, for this is your brother, was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found. Thus the words of God for the people, God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
In our Bible study this morning, we studied all of chapter 15 of Luke. We spoke of Michael Card's interpretation of the four-part structure of the parables. First, something is lost. In this particular case, a lamb was lost, a coin was lost, or a son was lost. Second, something or someone is sought after. The shepherd went out and looked for the lost sheep. The woman looked for the coin. And the father looked out over the horizon for the son. Third, something or someone is found. The shepherd found the lost sheep, the woman found the coin, and the father rejoiced and found the son, which was the final, the fourth step, rejoicing. We all rejoice when the lost is found. There seem to be a few missing pieces of the first two parables, actions that are present in the third. Prior to rejoicing, the son sins and eventually repents. In the case of the lost sheep and the coin, there's no mention of sin or repentance. Can you really see a lost sheep sinning? Perhaps if you look at the lamb as a person who has strayed, but that's not really what Jesus says in this parable. A coin, an inanimate object, really can't sin or repent. But we go after that one lamb, we go after that one coin, and we rejoice when they are found. But the son, oh, that son who had more chutzpah than you can imagine, well, he definitely qualifies as a sinner. And then he hits rock bottom. He plans to apologize, to repent, and to be content with living as one of his father's slaves at the bottom of the heap on the farm. But that's not the way it happens, is it? Last week at Bible study, I posed the following question. Who here was the biggest fool? The son who left? The son who stayed? Or the father whose love knew no boundaries? My daughter gave me a sign a few years ago after she had been through quite an ordeal, which could have been avoided if only she'd listened to me in the first place. The sign says simply, OMG, oh my goodness, my mother was right about everything. Well, I don't claim to say that that's entirely true, but in many cases, if we would not only stop and listen to reason, life would be a lot easier, wouldn't it? We all have a tendency to be our own worst enemies. As often as not, we suffer not from disasters or undue hardships, but by our own bad choices. In one of the commentaries I read in preparation for this message, I found a quote by a man named Wes Sleeger. I have no idea who Wes Sleeger is, but he said, "The wrath of God is not what we get, not that we get what we deserve. The wrath of God is not that we get what we deserve, but that we get what we choose." Pretty profound. We don't get what we deserve, we get what we choose. That was certainly the case in the younger son. Boy, did he mess up big time. First, he totally degraded his father in the eyes of the community. No son in his right mind would ever ask for his inheritance in advance. That'd be like wishing his father was dead. Then he up and leaves his older brother high and dry on the farm. And in the Jewish tradition, the eldest son would inherit 2/3 of the farm and the younger 1/3. But even so, to ask for that ahead of his father's demise and not to stay around and help his brother? What a no-no. The son then proceeds to go off and enjoy the good life, at least for a time, until his money runs out. He then ends up slopping the hogs. Again, what Jew would think of touching a pig, let alone caring for one? After hitting rock bottom, he decides that the best course of action for him would be to head home and beg for mercy. It's not clear here whether he was actually repentant or desperate. But home he goes with his tail between his legs. And wonder of wonder, dear old dad runs out and greets him like royalty. Now again, for a Jewish man to run is unheard of. The question is, Is the son the fool for what he has done? Or is his dad a nutcase who not only gives away a large portion of his property ahead of his demise, but then welcomes the kid home with open arms? Who is this father who would forgive so freely? Can you believe it? The son needed only to ask for forgiveness, and it was his. Enter the older son, the perfect one, the A student, the one who's always there when the cows get out, the one who can fix the farm equipment and mend the fences and give Dad a break when he needs it. Is he more like me and you than we realize? Here we are, sitting in our pews week after week, doing what the Lord requires of us. And suddenly, we realize that Dad is going all out for the scoundrel who took off and left us high and dry. We've been keeping the church doors open all these years. We've been the ones who tithe and give our talents for the good of the farm or the church. And now we're expected to welcome the sinner home. We're expected to open our arms and encourage the ones who have strayed right back into the fold. I might add, we're expected to talk to people who want to get married at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Really, folks, it's a little irksome, isn't it? But Dad does see both sides of the picture. He welcomes the wayward boy home, and then he goes out and commiserates with the one who's always been there, the eldest son. Behold, these many years I have served you. I've never disobeyed a commandment of yours, but you never even gave me a goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this, your son, comes, who has devoured your living with prostitutes, you kill a fattened calf for him? The father let him vent his anger, and then he said to him, Son, you're always with me. All that I have is yours. But it was appropriate to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. Who do you identify with today? Do you feel like the prodigal son, or do you feel more like the older brother? Regardless of the things that we have done to hurt others and to hurt ourselves, to degrade the Father, regardless of all our stupid mistakes, God's love is available to each one of us. All we need to do is head for home. It says there, it says right in the Bible, no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've strayed, no matter what poor choices we've made, God loves us and wants nothing more than for us to come home. There's no need to be ashamed. All is forgiven. On the other hand, if you identify with the older brother, it says that your good works have not gone unnoticed. God is aware of the sacrifices you've made to keep your family safe, to provide a good home for your children, to be a trustworthy citizen, to serve your community. He knows that you've been spending that extra time with ailing parents, and I'm not the only one here who's done that. You've been taking care of your grandchildren while their parents are out making a living. He's aware of your devotion to your church family also, and he is grateful. God's message to you is simple. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over good things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's from Matthew 25. The good news is God loves both the righteous and the sinners and wants us, the righteous and the sinners, to love one another. And this is the catch. It's a lot simpler for those who have screwed up to admit their mistakes, to make amends, and to ask forgiveness. But for those who have played by the rules through the years and kept their noses clean and done nothing wrong, it's a little more complex. How do you experience the joy of salvation when you're already saved? Are we going through the motions and not really experiencing Christ's joy of salvation? Are we so entrenched in our duties as Christians that we don't feel the joy of Christ? I pray not, but I do wonder. As the elder brothers in this scenario, it's important that as we fulfill our duty as God's servants, we also feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. It's not all about taking the collection and counting it and taking it to the bank. It's not just about singing the hymns and not feeling the words. It's not about passing out bulletins or reading scriptures. It's about feeling the love of Christ in each one who enters our door. It's about welcoming the stranger home. I pray that you and I will never become bitter and resentful of those who haven't paid their dues. Now, you might have noticed Kevin and I are quite open to baptism and weddings of members as well. We're quite open to baptism and weddings of members as well as those who aren't actually members. And I'll be talking to that lady later. Those who do not show up in worship on a regular basis have been welcomed into our midst for these special occasions. Some would say this is wrong. In fact, some of our colleagues have said, this is wrong. It's wrong to serve communion to non-members. It's wrong to baptize children of parents who don't attend worship regularly. And it's wrong to officiate at marriages of those who are not faithful members. But I can't buy that logic. I will, as long as I'm able, err on the side of grace and mercy. I'll continue to offer unconditional love to those who come to our door or call me at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I ask her to call back later. I would rather extend a hand to someone who is not actually repentant than to overlook a person who is looking for a home with God, a place to feel the love and mercy of Christ. I would rather go out of my way to welcome a stranger than to just sit and close the door. Let's talk for a moment now about Dad. Dear old Dad. He allowed his youngest son to literally walk all over him. He allowed himself to be disgraced in front of his neighbors by giving away a portion of his wealth prior to his death. Then he turned around and welcomed the scoundrel home. Have any of you ever been in a similar situation? I know at Bible study we talked about it, and yeah, we probably all have. I have, both as a young adult and as a parent. In years gone by, it would have been easy for my parents to say, I told you so. Now you can suffer the consequences. But they and I haven't figured out how to say no to their children, adult or otherwise. Who hasn't gotten themselves into a jam and needed help? Yeah, I might have mentioned a few times that there was an easier way around doing things. I might just have suggested to one or two of my children that buying a brand new car because they finally had a job wasn't the best idea. There are used car lots with good cars in them. I just might have tried to raise them with common sense, as my parents did with me. But when push comes to shove, well, I'd probably have a better retirement account if I hadn't caved in and lent a few dollars here and there. Am I the fool? Maybe. But I'd rather be a fool than a person who does not look for the good in folks, especially the folks that I love. Son number one was peeved at Dad because he threw a party. Can you blame him? On the other hand, Dad never really treated son number one unfairly. But it is food for thought, isn't it? Are we the dads of the world, the moms of the world, the people of the world, giving credit to those who are always there for us? Or are we overlooking their good deeds? Are we taking advantage of their good nature, their ways, and their devotion? I feel that we each have a little bit of each of the boys and dad in us. If you're feeling like the prodigal and you've strayed from the fold, you're welcome home. If you're the faithful one who's gotten embittered and angry at a God who's soft on sinners, well, you're welcome home too. If you're foolish or feeling foolish for being the generous dad, or the dad who is ridiculed for not doing enough, well, my answer to that is put the fatted calf on the grill, or toss some chicken on, and invite everyone over for a picnic. God wants each of us to sit down together and feast on the riches of his grace and his love. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have received sinners, and that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so today we thank you for the story of a lost son who was found. We pray that we too would repent, and that we too would rejoice when others repent. We ask that we will follow in the ways of the Father. We ask your forgiveness openly and freely. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.